People are learning about me little by little, and so am I. You may know this, but when I grew up in southern Minnesota, I grew up in Austin, and there were seven of us kids in the family. And one time, my dad came home, and he was in such a good mood. And for some reason, well, there were six boys and one little sister. And for some reason, on one day, and sometimes things line up just right, and they did that day, where all us boys worked around the house. And we cleaned the garage, we mowed the lawn, we did all the, you know, the tasks. And the understanding in our house was, and every family has different rules, we didn't get paid for the work we did around the house. That was, oh boy, I could go into the discussions we've had with our dad about allowances, but we don't have time for that. But this one day we did our task, we did our jobs, and our dad came home and he said, "I'm so happy with you. Come together, boys." And he grabbed us together and he said, I'm going to give you a choice. And this thing is something that my brothers and I talk about every time we get together, again and again. You know, those family stories. He said, "I'm going to give you a choice. I'm so tickled with you that you can choose. We could go out to eat tonight, special, and you pick the restaurant. It could be A&W. It could be anything. Sky's the limit. Or we'll all go to Walmart or Woolworth." Remember Woolworth? There was a Woolworth in town. "We can go to Woolworth and you can get a toy." So my brothers are talking. I didn't get a vote. I was too little. And they talked about what's better. Should we go out to eat? Because if we go out to eat, he's in such good mood, we might get a milkshake tonight. But then it's gone. So they decided on getting the thing that would last, a toy. But the whole time they're talking, my mom and dad are talking about different restaurants around town. And my dad didn't mean to make it this way, but there was a wrong answer. And we had it. And we came up and said, "We're glad we're going to take the toy, Dad." And my dad, whenever things went wrong, whenever things weren't quite right, he'd scratch the back of his neck and say, "You sure you want a toy? Because your mom worked hard too, and she'd like to go out to eat." That made no sense at all to us. She can eat anytime she wants. "No, we want a toy." So finally he said, "Fine then, get in the car." What a fun night that was. We're given choices sometimes. And in our Bible passage today, Solomon, who reigns over Israel, who's king over Israel, is given a choice by God. And I don't think there was a wrong answer. See, God says, "Try me. Ask me. Go ahead. Ask me for what you want." And could it just be that God is always before us, telling us, "Ask me. Go ahead. Try me out. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do with you?" Every time we pray, maybe we have this chance. And if God did ask that, if God is asking that of you right now, what would you ask for? Can of pop? Well, that would seem to go so fast. What would you ask for? A few weeks ago, before I came here, some of you may know this, I was on vacation with my family, and I was having such a great vacation that I decided to blow an organ, so I blew out my appendix. It's really good to do on vacation in towns where you don't know where the hospital is. It just makes good memories. So I did that, but when you give an organ, when you donate an organ like that, you don't eat for a while first. And so I didn't. And then after the surgery, you don't eat for a while again. And then you wake up and you're so thirsty and you're so hungry. And I remember like it was 4 weeks ago, that when the nurse brought in this dish of lemon jello cubes, oh, they look so good. And if you haven't had anything to drink for a while, haven't had anything to eat, you put that lemon jello cube and you bite down on it and you let it move over your gums. Oh, it tasted so good. And I told the nurse and I told my wife, Joan, I said, "This is so good. I love this jello." And it was great. There would be a time in my life where if God asked me, "You want anything, I'll give it to you," I would have asked for lemon jello cubes. But then I fell asleep and woke up again, and they wanted to take such care of me that when I woke up, there were 3 dishes of lemon jello. And I felt too guilty to leave them there, so I'm just eating more jello. It's not as good the 4th time around. There's something about being on the other side of a fast, or something about cravings, that sometimes we just want that thing. So if God would ask you for anything, is there a lemon jello kind of wish in your heart? Something that you haven't had in so long that if you got it now, but tomorrow you really wouldn't care? Could it be that God's asking you now the same question that God asked Solomon? Try me. Ask. What do you want me to do for you? Even Jesus said that when he walked up to somebody who was so lame and said, "Do you want me to make you well?" Well, Solomon answered, and what would a good answer be for Solomon? Solomon who runs the country. Would it be a grand military? Well, what if he had a great military, but all the people in town, in the cities and everything were decaying and things were falling apart? Or would he ask for peace? Well, that's a nice wish, but what if the country had peace, but, and maybe you've heard this before, but not justice? What if people, well, look, for example, and I'm not trying to pick on North Korea, but there's a sense of peace there, but would you want to live there right now with what they're enduring? What do you ask for? So Solomon asked for the gift of discernment of the heart. Help me to know what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad. Because Solomon had many advisors, and each of us, we have advisors in our lives. And not every bit of advice is one you want or one that's good. But how do you discern? So Solomon asked for that gift and God was pleased. Solomon wanted to know in his heart, to discern in his heart the difference between good and evil. What's ironic about this prayer that pleased God so much, is if you remember back to the time of Adam and Eve. Remember when the whole world was paradise? When it never got below 30 degrees? Adam and Eve, they had all these trees and paradise, all these plants, all this fruit, but that wicked old serpent came in and said, "Try that one. That's the tree of knowledge. Good and evil." And they were convinced that if they would just snatch that, they would know the difference. And it was true and it was right. And Adam and Eve snatched that fruit and learned to discern good and evil. This very same gift that Solomon asks for, Adam and Eve take and eat. So why is it good one day and bad another day? Solomon wanted this gift to serve God, to glorify God, to make life better for others. Adam and Eve, they were convinced that if they took that gift and ate it and stole it, they could make themselves like God. That was what the trickster told them. And there is more than one gift in this world, but we're talking about wisdom now. Wisdom can be used for such good and beauty, and wisdom can be snatched and used to glorify ourselves. The same is true of any bit of God's creation. But wisdom. And as you get later in the story of Solomon's life, he uses wisdom for such good. But there are times in his life where he gnarls it and twists it up a little bit for his own glory. Well, he's a human. He tried. But in the book of Proverbs, it reads, just like I mentioned, that, well, as Proverbs describes wisdom, Proverbs describes wisdom like a woman and says that she is out in the streets crying to us, calling out to us. And she, wisdom, as it's described in the book of Proverbs, said, I was there with God in creation, dancing. And what an image that is of wisdom, dancing with God in creation. And we can see it. We can see it in... And I was told not to tell anybody that we have windows here, because then it'll be hard to pay attention. But we can see wisdom dancing. And have you ever seen, have you ever driven through the Dakotas and seen a whole field of sunflowers? And you go by later in the day and they've turned to follow the sun? Imagine watching that in a whole day and seeing the dance of the sunflowers. Or those little tiny things inside our lungs that I couldn't pronounce for the kids. They're called microvilli. When you breathe in and they wave and they change the oxygen to carbon dioxide and back and forth in your lungs. What beauty there is inside. There's a dance inside us. There's a dance outside us. Wisdom continues and flourishes in this world. Not to be worshipped. Just like anything else that God created. But to bring glory to God. And so Paul tells us, and the Holy Spirit tells us in the New Testament, to search for wisdom, to take hold of it, and use it to God's glory. And what a beautiful thing wisdom can be. Have you ever driven up north? And maybe it's only because every time I drive up north, I'm in a vacation frame of mind. But when you look through the trees and you see the lakes, when you come up in those areas where you see not just the lakes, but if you come at the right time of day and the sun is glinting, I don't know of a better word for it than glinting, glinting off the waves, and it looks like diamonds. Wisdom is dancing with God in creation. And that dance is not done. That dance continues. And when that dance would end in that terrible word called death, God, through Jesus, reaches out and says, let's dance some more. What a gift we have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.